Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today. Are you ready for more Lord of the Rings on-screen content? Well, you are in luck, and I'm not talking about Rings of Power. In just a few weeks, we will be privileged to see The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim on the big screen. And I have been asked, by a fellow wanderer just like you, to do a breakdown on some of the trailers and the content around this film. I'm Aaron, your host and guide to Wandering Middle-earth, and this is Lore of the Rings. Before we get going, I'd like to recognize Dave, Dee, Kevin, Eilin, Matt, and Joel for joining the free Lore of the Rings newsletter in November. Thank you, and welcome to our wandering community. If you would like to sign up for the newsletter, visit ringspodcast.com. Now, let's wander. I received the following voicemail from a fellow wanderer, Luke, who said this.
Hello, Aaron. Thank you for your podcast. I find it very entertaining and fun. I was wondering if you were going to do a breakdown of the new War of the Rohirrim trailer.
Luke has been so patient. He's waited over 2 months for my podcast breakdown of the War of the Rohirrim trailer. And by the way, I would love to hear your questions for me. Just another reason to visit ringspodcast.com, tap the gold bar on the right-hand side, and send me a voicemail. All right, let's do this. First, what is The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim? This is a new animated film to be released on December 13th and brought to you by the New Line Cinema and Warner Bros. Animation. So there are some deep connections there with the Peter Jackson films. Although I don't see Peter Jackson or Fran Walsh listed as writers, but Philippa Boyens has been involved. But Miranda Otto, who played Eowyn in The Two Towers and The Return of the King, is returning to provide a narrator's voice, I believe, and they also are using Christopher Lee's voice as Saruman the White. The story is the history of Helm Hammerhand and Helm's Deep. Helm's Deep, if you remember, was the fortress of refuge that King Theoden and the people of Rohan went to in The Two Towers. The source of the story comes from Appendix A to The Lord of the Rings, in the section called The House of Errol. There you'll find the origins of the Rohirrim, a few tales and a list of kings from the first king of Rohan to Theoden and finally to Éomer, who took up the kingship after the battle in the fields in front of Minas Tirith. I did a full review and exploration of these tales all the way back in number 68, which you can find in your podcast feed or by visiting ringspodcast.com/68. I won't do a full rehash of it here, but let me just say that while there's plenty about horses, you'll also be surprised by the ghosts. So with that context, I'm going to watch the extended sneak preview that has been released on YouTube just a couple days ago. I have not seen this. I have only really seen one of the trailers. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to play this on YouTube and give you my off-the-cuff reactions. And I'll pause it and play it as we go, but I will put a link to this in the show notes if you want to go find this on YouTube. Okay, so the first thing I'm seeing in this extended sneak preview is some battles that are going on, it looks like, outside of the Hornburg, that is the fortress of Helm's Deep. And there is some pretty deep winter going on that is in alignment with the lore, the story that Tolkien wrote. Looks like we have a guy standing in the snow trying to see what's going on, and the horn of the Helm's Deep is blowing in the background. That looks pretty scary. Men are running, they seem to be terrified that... They seem to be really scared from Helm Hammerhand. Helm is the namesake of Helm's Deep. And now we cut to the strong female protagonist of this show. I think her name is Hema. Hema will be Helm's daughter, who is in the lore in the story. The main story is, of course, that someone wants to come and marry Helm's daughter. She doesn't actually have a name, and so this film provided a name for her. Yeah, and I can hear Miranda Otto sort of as that narrator over the scene, talking about the horn of the Hornburg. And they also set up the main bad guy here, which is Wolf, son of Freca. Now, Wolf is from the story in the Appendix of the Ring. He was the man who wanted to come and marry Helm's daughter, and there was some confrontation between his father and Helm, and hence Wolf. I won't exactly go into that story here because I'm sure they'll talk about it in the movie. But Wolf, let's suffice to say that right now Wolf wants revenge. That's why he is laying siege to the people of Rohan and Helm. And Helm is fighting back and seems to have supernatural powers. He seems to not be a man, mortal man anymore, but more like a ghost. We see a whole bunch of people gathered together. The siege has been going on for a long time. People are worried about their king. There seems to be a lot of rumors going around inside Helm's Deep about the nature of Helm. He's behind a closed and locked room. I don't know if that's because his people intended to have him imprisoned for some reason. That seems odd, but probably more likely that they are in defense of this siege. And so how did Helm get out without anybody seeing him seems to be the primary question here. Oh, and it looks like Hema found a secret passage on accident. Oh, so I've been saying her name wrong. It's not Hema, it's actually Hera. I had that mistaken, but I can see that somebody is now looking for her and calling out for Hera. So that's the name of our main character. So she's in a secret passage, doesn't exactly know where she's going, what it is that she's found. Luckily, she has a light with her, a candle. She's wearing a green cloak, very characteristic of the Riders of Rohan from the Peter Jackson films. She seems to be deep under the castle at this point. Some mysterious darkness. As the light goes out, she's seeking after her father, who, at least the figure of her father, and he indeed seems to be portrayed as a ghost, it looks like, from these scenes. So she comes to the end of the tunnel, snow is falling down, it's that deep, deep, cold winter. And what does she find outside this tunnel? Not her father, not the figure of her father, not the ghost of her father, but two orcs. Oh, and then what do they have found here? Looks like they have a ring. And then they have one ring, and they looks like they put it into a big pouch of a whole bunch of rings. They've been searching for rings all across the land, I assume, from what I'm seeing here. What does Mordor want with rings? Okay, so this is really interesting because this obviously is not part of the story as Tolkien wrote it, but I could definitely see a subplot here of, yeah, Sauron is looking for the rings. He's trying to recover the seven. The nine rings, obviously, that Sauron has under the control of the Nazgul, the Ringwraiths, the nine kings of men. He does not know where the three rings are, but his mind is searching out for them, trying to find them. And the other rings that are left are the seven rings of the dwarves, some of which I can't remember exactly at this point in the timeline how many Sauron has recovered and how many we know have been destroyed by dragon. And of course, there is one ring that is missing above all the others, and Sauron is desperately trying to find that one ring. So, a great little subplot here of orcs kind of going through the land sneakily, trying to gather up all the rings that they can find from any of the royal houses, anywhere that they can see, and they don't exactly know the nature of what Mordor wants with these rings, but all they know is that they have to be gathering up these rings and taking them back to the master. And if I'm remembering right, I think the voices of these two orcs are Dominic Monaghan and Billy Boyd, Merry and Pippin. Uh-oh. She has now run into, looks like, a big nasty snow troll. The orcs say they're going to feed her to the beast. The orcs did actually were cannibals to some degree. Oh, and she's saved by a crazy snowman. All right, now they're running up the big ramp of Helm's Deep, trying to get into the gate. The gate is frozen. They can't quite open it. He gets Hera inside, and Helm gives Hera the call to adventure. Rohan needs you. You must lead them as he stands outside the gate and fights off the attackers. And we get a little question of insecurity. I can't save them, but we get a lot of quick scenes of different battles and sieges happening. Looks like all along the Hornburg, but we do see Hera riding on a horse. She is a rider of Rohan. Lots of different cutscenes. Oh, and we get an Oliphant. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I discovered their literary clock, which tells time using quotes from classic books. Thousands of options, one for every minute. It's clever, personal, and perfect for the book lover in your life. And because my family always breaks out board games during the holidays, I ordered a wooden code breaker game and a murder mystery jigsaw puzzle. Can't wait to solve that one together. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. When you shop, you're supporting small, independent artists and makers. And with every purchase, they donate $1 to a nonprofit partner. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/LOTRpod. That's uncommongoods.com/LOTRpod for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dad Ventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card, and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today. Or if I'm remembering correctly, how they're actually called the Marmukil. Looks like it is crashing through a wooden fence. So this is really interesting because, as far as I know, there's no actual written tale by Tolkien that Rohan and the Marmukil from Harad, these are the big Oliphant boar animals from Harad, the deep south and deep east of Middle-earth, but they do have that really interesting confrontation in the Battle of Pelennor Fields. This is the battle outside of Minas Tirith, and Rohan comes in, and they are the cavalry. If you're fighting in medieval warfare, you definitely want your cavalry to be there because they can sneak up around the army. They're powerful. They're hard to get at. The cavalry is what saves the day, right? Here comes the cavalry. And Rohan does that. They do that for the forces at Minas Tirith, the infantry forces that are there. But then they encounter the cavalry of the enemy, these Oliphants, these Marmukil that are dressed for battle and for war. These are huge war machines. These are like the tanks of their day. Spikes on their tusks, archers on the top. They can cause a lot of destruction. So really interesting connection here that this film is taking, some liberties that they're taking with the source material. As far as I know, there is no source material for Marmukil to be all the way up in Rohan. How did they get past Gondor is one question. I mean, that's a lot of land through Gondor to have to get through before you get to Rohan. Did they come onto ships? I don't know. That seems somewhat unlikely. That would have to be some really big ships would need to carry those Oliphants. So not exactly sure how they got there. But it is an interesting contrast. You have the cavalry, Rohan, and all of their horses versus the cavalry of Harad and their Oliphants. So, interesting mashup there. Helm and several riders. Still lots of different cuts to different battles. So, who are you? Death! Okay, I'm sensing here a theme of what does it mean to be a true king or queen or true leader or ruler of your people. Hera says to Wolf, you may wear a crown, but that doesn't make you a king. And she is at her own inner journey of becoming the leader, the queen of her own people after the death of her father, it seems. And looks like we get to get a little one-on-one confrontation between Wolf and Hera. A little good sword play there. That'll be fun to watch. Go watch this again. Listen to the music. You get a lot of that Rohan theme from Howard Shore's score from The Two Towers, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You get a lot of that all throughout. Some of the greatest music. Well, it's really hard to say. All of the music is just amazing. But the Rohan music is really fantastic. Very characteristic of the people of Rohan. So there you go. That's my raw reaction to the extended sneak preview. Again, go watch that. There's a link in the show notes. I'm pretty excited for this. I think they stick pretty close to the source material. They do have a few adaptations and some additions. But so far, those additions seem to be making sense. I guess with the, pun intended, elephant in the room. How did those Oliphants get to Rohan? That does seem to be, but not incredibly lore-breaking. It just does seem like a little bit of an adaptation. And again, I'm really excited to see that subplot of the servants of Mordor trying to find the rings, right? And Sauron, that is Sauron's main motivation. Yes, he is building up his armies. He's building up his tower, Barad-dûr, all during the Third Age. But his primary motivation, he wants to have the One Ring returned to him, so that he can be at full power and full strength. Okay, so far, let's see. When I reviewed the Rings of Power episodes, I had six different criteria. Character, story, dialogue, visuals, music, and lore faithfulness. And I used a 1 to 5 wizard staff scale. So, from this extended sneak preview, it's kind of hard to say this. I mean, this is only 8 minutes long. It's hard to judge a whole film by this, but let me give some preliminary scores here. Characters, I'm going to go with a 5. They have some really strong characters here. They do seem to have very clear motivations and different feelings. This seems to be some inner story arc journeys that are going to happen within our heroes, and also as well as the outer story arcs as well. Which brings me to story. Story, I think, looks pretty good, pretty interesting here. It looks to be like there's going to be a lot of battle. Cold winter, sieges, and battle. That usually makes for a pretty good story. Dialogue, so far, dialogue. I think I'll give it a plus here. Definitely on the higher end of the scale. Visuals, I do say I love watching this. These visuals, I'm not a huge anime fan. I mean, I know Spirited Away, that's kind of the extent of my anime. But in terms of just watching this, it looks beautiful. It looks amazing. I actually can't wait to see it. And in terms of music, they are borrowing from Howard Shore's music, at least here from the Extended Sneak Preview. And as I mentioned before, that's a big plus for me. Lore faithfulness, it looks pretty close to the story with a couple of additions. So I think we'll be pretty good from a lore faithfulness on that standpoint. So go ahead and go get your tickets and go watch the show and come back in a couple of weeks and I'll give you my full review of The Lord of the Rings, War of the Rohirrim. And thank you to Luke for sending in that voicemail and that question. Again, if you have a question for me and would love to be featured in a future episode, please visit ringspodcast.com and tap the gold bar on the right hand of the screen. Now, all of this being said, I skipped over another really intriguing piece of content that is coming with The War of the Rohirrim, and it's the song called The Rider from the soundtrack of this movie. And like most music in Middle-earth, this one hits me pretty hard. So stay tuned. I'll be breaking down the lyrics to that in the next episode. Thank you to this episode's executive producer, The Old One. If you would like to support the show, visit ringspodcast.com/member. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. Parents, here's a gift idea that doesn't require batteries, screens, or endless assembly on Christmas morning. It's called the Dadventures Deck, a deck of silly adventures and unexpected twists for you and your kids. Pull one card and suddenly you're on a superhero bike ride or turning the backyard into a treasure island. My daughter still talks about the memories we've made from this deck. I've only got about 20 of these decks left, and once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want a simple way to spark memories with your kids this holiday season, go to ringspodcast.com/deck. Again, that's ringspodcast.com/deck. Start making more epic memories with your children today.